Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to talk about a situation that was posted up on the Ask the Softball Umpire group about an obstruction call at home plate that was actually originally not called obstruction, but was overturned. So good times.
Yeah, good times for sure. So the post is in the Ask the Softball Umpires Facebook group, and it's from Nicholas Rizzo, NFHS High School Rules. Looking for opinions here. Plate umpire called this an out. The FU
field umpire
called obstruction on the catcher. Whoop. Okay. We'll talk about that. The call got overturned to obstructions. What do you guys have here? So if you watch the play.
And I'll put a link in the comments on the website at umpiringfastpitchsoftball.com and on our Facebook post that usually accompanies this episode.
So if you watch the play, the runner is coming from third. She's coming into home plate. The catcher has removed her helmet and thrown it off to the side out of the way. She's standing in front of home plate. So between home plate and the pitcher, the throw is coming from first base, looks like. Let me double check that. Yep. The throw is coming from first base. It's a little bit up the third base line, but the catcher catches the ball and turns and applies a tag to the runner who is headfirst diving into home plate. The runner did not slow. The runner did not appear to change her path toward the plate. I don't believe at any time did the catcher block the path to the plate. And certainly if she did, with that down to her left knee to catch that ball that's slightly up the third, she has the ball.
Well, when I look when the left knee goes down, it still appears to be like within the foul line.
Yeah.
It's really close there.
She's still on the infield.
Which would put her entire body in fair territory.
Absolutely.
But like you said, the runner did not appear to slow or alter her path. The only time where I saw her do something a little wonky, she did attempt a head first slide. But as she was coming in after the catcher got the ball, she kind of did this weird thing where she was starting to like belly flop to do the slide, but she kind of hit a knee and like changed her direction, maybe to try to dodge the tag a little. Do you see that at the end?
Yeah, but that's right. She did.
But that's with the ball.
Yeah, so she's dodging the tag.
The only person that can kind of be in trouble here outside of an overly forceful tag is the runner for moving 3 feet, which she didn't. But I'm saying in this case, the only thing we're then looking for jeopardy-wise is that. So yeah, that's, like you said, I didn't see classic obstruction. NFHS wants that runner to, you know, be hindered. And we didn't, neither of us see hindrance here without the ball.
Yep. So I have an out for sure. And actually, I'm watching that runner. It's on playing on loop on my computer here. So I keep watching that runner, and she does that little swim move thing that you've seen the Major League Baseball players do, where she's coming in with her left hand and then she tucks her left hand and reaches out with her right. And it looks like she shows her right hand to the plate umpire, like, I touched it with this hand.
Yeah.
She was arguing that she thwarted the tag. She wasn't arguing that she was blocked. Because she wasn't. So that's what I have anyway on this play. Guys and gals, check it out. Go to the link that Pete's posting on the website and check it out for yourself. But Pete, there's still a lot to talk about here.
Yeah, so we got the umpire. So far, based on our review of the play, we are cool with the plate umpire's actions up till now. He's there. You don't like his positioning on this play?
There's two things. So if you watch the very beginning of the play, I don't know this gentleman, and I'm sorry, sir, but this is just critique, right? Let's try to get better. The ball is hit, and he points up toward first base with his right hand, almost with a punchy motion.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's saying fair ball?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, but it was way inside the line. I'm not sure why he called it.
Right. And so he pointed with his right hand toward the infield. So I don't know what that was. And then as soon as he sees he's mask off, which is awesome. Unfortunately, mask off with his right hand, and he just had to switch it to his left hand to make a call.
And he's backing away.
He backs away from a tag play at the plate. So a tag play, you know, what's our calling distance on a tag play? So NCAA, it's no more than 3 feet, I think, or it's something like that. We'll have to look that one up. Somebody correct me on that one, but it's in the manual, but it's definitely close, right? So it's 10 to 12 for, we're going to mess these numbers up now. It's been too long. So we're probably going to have
get
to
get in there.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to have to get in there and get your nose on this play and see what's going on. So it's not the backing away piece is something that I had to work on for a force play at home plate. You know, I was not finding myself getting enough distance to be able to see a force play, but on a on that play there, even this is a high school game, obviously. And so the wedge is probably not an expectation for the umpire. It's more of a leading edge USA softball type of calling position, but he needs to be a lot closer than he was. However, we have to give props here. He saw exactly what he needed to see and made the right call.
So this
it looks like.
So I was looking, by the way, while we were at it. So I'm looking at the 26-27 softball umpires manual for NFHS.
Okay.
So we got here. There's a section where it talks about maintaining an unobstructed view. Once an umpire reaches their primary positioning, there are times when it'll be necessary to adjust, et cetera, et cetera. Primary positioning for a tag play is 90 degrees to the path of the runner and just short of the base they are trying to reach.
Right.
So just short is, you know, pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we got the guy, he needs to be in there.
I think they mean just short left to right, though. I don't think they mean that north to south when they're saying just close. So it's the leading edge of the base that they're trying to attain, I think, is what they're trying to say there. The calling distances are in a different section of the book.
Yeah, so then, so they got distance. Once you establish a proper angle, you have a reasonable opportunity to accurately view the action, regardless of the distance, theory holds, et cetera, et cetera. Each play may require adjustment. Proximity, how close you want to be to a developing play depends on variables. By moving to a position 10 to 12 feet from a tag play and no closer than 18 from a force play.
There you go. Okay. So that's an FHS.
Yeah.
And which NCAA is way closer than that.
Yeah. And this game is an NFHS game.
Yep. And so you can make an argument here that he saw the runner coming, the runner's running in foul territory. I don't want to be in the play. So mm-hmm. he backed up enough to be out of the play. You know, we're not there. We don't know what was in his head. So it may be perfectly appropriate to be where he was. He's definitely 10 to 12 feet. So he's definitely not at the 18 foot range for a call, that kind of play. So anyway, I'm good there. Now let's talk about, somebody said in a comment that the base umpire called obstruction. And so this play was overturned.
Yeah. So first of all, as the original post called it, the field umpire. So the base umpire says, hey, time. And then, I don't know, he went and talked to his partner and said, I have obstruction. Or did he just yell obstruction? Did he throw his fist out? That'd be a question.
He's not throwing his fist out in the short video clip that we have. Right. So what we don't have is enough information. We don't know if he did just throw his arm out and then overrule.
Mm-hmm.
You hear my big air quotes, overrule the call, or if he did call time and go in and have a conversation with the plate umpire, and then they determined that it was obstruction. We don't know that.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about how it should go. So first and foremost, mind your own business. Unless you saw something that was egregious and you just can't believe that your partner didn't call it, then you wait on the play to be over, you call time, and you trot in there and you have a conversation and you say, man, I saw this was egregious. What did you see that made you not call that? And you hope that he says, you know, I just missed it, dude. We need to call it.
Yeah.
It was my bad. I called it too fast. I messed it up because it was egregiously that. And then you turn around and you change the call, right? Not the base umpire. The mm-hmm. plate umpire is going to change the call. If he saw something egregious. If you didn't see something egregious, trot your rump over to the A spot and get ready for the next batter.
Yeah, because this is a judgment call. And the umpires whose call that was is the base umpire, the plate umpire.
That's right.
So why are you overruling his judgment call? Like you said, unless you saw from, by the way, Broski is out really far away. You know?
He is deep in the sea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. The base umpire is out deep in the sea. So let's talk about a situation that I had as a coach. It was very similar to this. We were playing in Ohio State's Charity Classic. I was coaching at Otterbein, and we were on defense. So I'm in the dugout. We're in the third base dugout, and we are playing a Division I school. Now, for those of you that don't know, for our listeners that are, you know, not in Central Ohio and don't know who Otterbein University is, it's a Division III school that plays in the OAC, and we're playing a Division I school. And so, and we're playing them very tough. And they try to score a runner on a base hit to the outfield. They try to score a runner from two. And our center fielder came up with this phenomenal throw. We had our most experienced catcher, our most experienced guy. I have this in video evidence or mm-hmm. photo evidence. Our most experienced catcher is set up, not blocking the leading edge of the plate. She is in the infield. The throw is coming in, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is phenomenal. They're going to get her. The throw is caught in the infield, and the catcher turns and swipes and hits the girl's hand. Never once got in front of the leading edge of the plate. The ball in the glove got to the leading edge of the plate when she tagged the girl on the hand. And I have this in video evidence. Not video, photo. She's called out. It's the third out of the inning. We leave the field. The U1, we had three umpires. U1 comes trotting in, has a conversation with the plate umpire, and they change the call to obstruction, count the run, and defense goes back out on the field. It's the only one I ever got close to being thrown out of a college softball game as a coach. Plenty of people have wanted me thrown out as an umpire, but I was really close. I could not believe what I was seeing, because I'm seeing these folks, because what a lot of umpires know, the Charity Classic is a place for umpires to come and be seen by some of the D1 assigners. And, you know, so they're trying out, they're auditioning. These are good umpires. Mm-hmm. And that's not a thing. Like what I just described to you is not a thing. Don't do that, right? You don't have any, there's no way you saw anything. And in fact, I know that there was no way he saw anything, because I have the photo evidence that there was nothing to be seen. So not only did he stick his nose in something that wasn't his business, he was dead wrong when he did it. Don't expose yourself to that. Why would he do that? You know? And so yeah. I'd love to talk to him about it. Still to this day, you can probably tell I'm getting red. I'm very angry, because then the other thing that happened was they scored five more in that inning. You know, we were out of the inning, you know, Mo changed, and it just, you know, then it got ugly. We probably weren't going to win the game anyway against this D1 school, but we were giving them a heck of a run. And this umpire who was over umpiring, I guess, changed that for these girls. And I was not very happy about that at all. So anyway, how'd we do on this one, Pete? Did we get this?
Yeah, we talked it up. You guys check it out. See what you think when you're looking at it. We talked about, what maybe the base umpire should not have done that. Plate umpire got the call right in the first place. We don't know how. It just says the call got overturned to obstruction. We don't know if the base umpire just did it, or we don't know if he tried it in. So we don't know how it was handled or how it was switched, if he gave that plate umpire new information and then he changed the call. But the question is just, even here, if you're the plate umpire, how do you change that call from that guy seeing that position? What do you have to hear, you think, as a plate umpire? You know, I guess your base umpire being emphatic. You didn't see how that runner coming home was impeded. You didn't see her stutter step. You didn't see her pause. You didn't see her shimmy or do whatever that was not what she was intending to do, you know, hadn't there been no obstruction. You didn't see that? Holy cow, I saw that plain as day as I was watching it so closely.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're like, oh my goodness. You know,
yeah, maybe I did miss it.
I was watching the catcher so much to make sure she wasn't somewhere that I had to start to think about this. I didn't even think about this other thing.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. So for me as a plate umpire, and I think a lot of it too is going to depend on a few things. One, personality of the crew. You know, how are we doing? Do we know each other really well? Is it David and Pete out there? Or is it Pete and somebody that he's never met before?
Yeah.
Right. And then also, what's the confidence level between the two, you know? And so with me at the plate, you'd have to convince me pretty hard. I'm open to it, right? But I'd have to say, wait a minute, why are you in here? So the fact that you're in here tells me you saw something egregious. Did you see something like that I completely missed?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, but I think they were, oh, okay. Well, no, I got it. Dude, I was right here. I saw it all. Thanks for coming in. Trot back on out there.
Yeah.
You know, that's another out. Need 27 of them, go back to work, you know,
yeah,
whatever it is. So yeah, I think it has to do with the personalities and confidence and then what actually happened, what transpired. Because guys and gals, there are times where something just gets missed and we do want to get it right for the girls. I mean, it's one of the things that Mr. McCallum put in the CCA manual for NCAA was get these calls right for these girls. If you have to get together to do it, if you have to ask for help, ask. And if you see something, make sure you get the call right. So there are times, wasn't this one. I don't think.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't that one with Otterbein. All right, Pete, do we have a social media post for today, or are we done?
Yeah, I think this should be pretty quick one here. So we got a social media post here from the NFHS Softball Umpire Group. Jeff posted and said, eighth grade coach asked me this as it happened in his game. I thought it'd be a good poll question. Instead of eighth, I'm asking this as a varsity level call. So pretend this happened in a varsity game. Although I imagine this eighth grade game was played NFHS rule set. They often are. Runner at second, no outs. The batter lays down a perfect bunt, heading between the circle and third. Just as the pitcher picked up the ball, the runner heading into second runs into the shortstop who had been heading over to cover third. Base umpire calls time, calls the runner out for interference. Base umpire realized after he messed up because he should have called obstruction as the shortstop was not making a play on the ball. What do you do? Here are your choices. Do you A, even though this is an incorrect call, oh well, that's the way it was called. B, correct the call, call obstruction, place the runner on third or second and base our batter runner on first. C, nullify the play and put the runner back on second and put the batter back up to hit. D, none are correct, and I'll tell you why, you David. Or E, talk to your partner, see what they had, then give your info up to the base umpire to overturn the mistake.
Okay.
So as a plate umpire, what are you doing?
Wow. Okay. So I don't have that one up in front of me. I was looking for it while you were reading, so I don't have it. So I'm gonna go on what you told me. I think we have a bunt that is obviously being covered by the pitcher, not the shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
The runner from second is going to third and gets tangled up with the shortstop.
Yes.
The umpire says dead ball.
Mm-hmm. Dead ball interference.
I have interference,
mm-hmm.
right? Runner from, batter runner's out. Or no, batter runner goes to first and the runner from second is out.
Uh-huh.
The play has stopped. Then the realization comes that says, wait a minute, it was not interference. It was actually obstruction. Now you've killed the play, which means, oh, okay. I guess I have a question. The question would be, oh man, yeah, I don't know how to deal with this. So here's thought number one. I think it matters to me. Because it's a judgment call. How are we going to fix it? Right? We broke it. How are we going to fix it? The manual is not going to say exactly how to fix it.
And it even says the base umpire already realized they messed up as soon as they did.
So they knew it was a mess.
There's no convincing that's needed.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So we've messed up. So I think it matters to me. Did he kill it before the pitcher threw the ball to first? Or did the pitcher throw the ball at first and they got the batter runner out? Because I think that if that's the case, if they actually threw the ball to first, even though he said dead ball, as long as they got it there before anybody reacted because of the dead ball, right? Pitcher still threw the ball to first, batter runner still was head down.
So this says, the post says, just as the pitcher picked up the ball, the runner heading into second runs into the shortstop, base umpire calls time. So it basically, consider the ball is still in the pitcher's hand. As they're picking it up, the collision occurs. I imagine he called it, you know, the pitcher hasn't released the ball yet.
Okay. So what goes through my mind in these situations where we have to fix something is we don't want to unfairly disadvantage either team
mm-hmm.
because of the umpire's mistake. So by killing the play, two things happened. The girl didn't get to go to third and the pitcher didn't get to throw the girl out at first.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's like, well, shoot, both teams are disadvantaged.
Yeah.
So how do I fix this?
Yeah, you don't know because the throw might have gone wide.
Yep.
You know, you don't know what would happen. You can't assume an out. There's no out.
Wow. Man, that's a tough one. What do you think, Pete?
Pack up your bag, go home.
Pack up your bag, go home. It's like, I don't know, guys. I'm out. I have no idea.
I mean, so.
I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, so you've got to fix it, right? There was no play to third. So I feel like in this case, I'm definitely putting the runner who started on second is going to third.
Okay.
I don't think anything happened in that obstruction, which is what should have been called. They would have told me, put her on home, nor send her back. If she ran into the shortstop who's going to cover third, so the shortstop's running the same way the runner's running, and they bump into each other, that probably happened very close to third. The pitcher's just now picking up the ball. Nobody's throwing anybody out at third. So that runner's going to third. That's where I place that person.
Got it.
Next. So what do you do next?
What do you do with a batter runner?
Yeah, so that's the problem. You can't, this is where you're kind of boned, and I think one team's getting boned. I mean, originally I was like, why would you put the batter up back up to hit? But I mean,
is that what they said in the post?
That was one of them. So just one of them.
So
no one said it.
So
only
give me the poll stuff again.
Yeah. So even only 1% of people said that.
Okay. So now we tried to do it without having, I tried to do it without having an answer to pick from, right? An ABCD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's the ABCD?
So again, you've got, even though it's incorrect call stands. No one said that.
Okay.
So you just say interference. You're calling interference even though you screwed it up.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
Okay. Correct the call, call obstruction, put the runner on third, second, and the batter runner on first. 84% of people said that one.
I think that's it.
And then nullify the play and put the runner back on second, batter go back to the hit. So basically redo. You just undo it, start over. That was only 1%. None are correct. I'll answer in the comments, 4%. And then talk to your partner, see what they had, give your info. It's up to the base umpire to overturn their own mistake, which is almost the same as B. But because you didn't solve anything, you just said, solve it, base umpire. Now my problem, solve right. it. But you didn't say how it was you're supposed to solve it. But 11% of people said that. So some experts here, Diane, who posts a lot in that group. So like she's high level, I think she may be a state level person.
Okay.
Very, very experienced umpire. She said F6 committed obstruction as a fielder, not in possession of the ball, nor making initial play on a batted ball. cannot hinder or impede the runner. The umpires need to get this call right and award the obstructor runner and any other runner affected by the obstruction the base or bases they would have reached had there been no obstruction.
Perfect answer.
So that does not tell you what to do with the person first.
So far, perfect answer. Yes.
Yeah. Next and so she doesn't say. So someone says, umpires need to make a judgment call whether the batter runner would have been out or safe at first to fix this call, which where you're kind of where you were waffling. And Diane said, actually, no. The batter runner was obstructed between home and first, not a fielder. What? Oh, yeah. She, I don't know if she got something wrong there. Yeah. So she didn't, there was no answer given there.
Okay.
On hers.
Yeah. So I go to the, I go here and I think, cause this is our, this is actually our social media post.
Yeah. That's the thing. Oh, yeah. So someone just said, even, what did F1 do after picking up the ball? So, cause had they gone through with the throw? See, the, you know, the play was killed, but did she end up throwing the ball after play kill time and you just don't count it?
And did the batter runner keep running?
Right. Yeah.
She, that's the other thing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, initially, when I first started to answer this, I said, one of the things you want to try to think about is don't do something bad to the wrong team.
Mm-hmm.
Who committed the infraction?
The defense
committed the infraction. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to get the girl out at second to third for sure, mm-hmm. right? And how can I call the girl out at first? The offensive team did nothing wrong in this play. The defensive team and the umpire
are the
only ones that did things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You have the punishment, quote unquote, the bad outcome has to go to the defense. Had she not committed that obstruction, we don't know what would have happened, but she did.
Mm-hmm.
So because of this situation, we're going to leave the batter runner at first base and we're going to move the runner from second to third and we're going to play on. And now we're going to have a conversation with the offensive coach, or I mean the defensive coach, about how that goes. And how I would say that is, sir, we messed up.
Yep.
And now, hey guys and gals, notice I didn't say he messed up. I didn't say I messed up. Mm-hmm. I said we messed up. Because we're a crew. So we messed up. When they report you to, you know, when they fill out their report, it's going to be this crew. They're not going to even know which name was on bases or mm-hmm. whatever, right? They're just going to say they screwed this call up. And so we messed this call up in order to fix it. There's no easy outcome that doesn't disadvantage either team. So in these cases, we look at which team committed the infraction. And if there is a negative outcome, it has to be against the team that committed the infraction. That makes sense, right, coach? I mean, you did it. Mm-hmm. You did the bad thing. You did the bad thing. The result can't go your way. So we're not putting the result your way. You did the bad thing, and here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
If you have any more questions about that, please call your assigner after. Have your AD call the assigner. Have them call me. But we're going to go play ball now.
Yeah, and what else can you do?
That's it. I think that's all you can do.
Yeah. And that's
all right. And that's it. So, hey, thanks for listening.
Yep. Until next time.